This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Does your child behave erratically at times? Do they ever experience sleep disturbances or aggressive behaviour? Has it ever occurred to you that the food your child eats could be the cause of their behavioural problems? Sue Dengate is the author of the best-selling Fed Up series, which focuses on the effects of food chemicals on children's behaviour, health and learning ability. She now runs the Food Intolerance Network through the website fedup.com.au. Now, Sue, how did you first become aware of the effects of food additives on behaviour? Was it through personal experience?
I was actually teaching behaviour management. My background is teaching and psychology. And when I had my own children, I soon realised that what I had been teaching didn't work for my own kids, which was very embarrassing.
Oh, wow. So you realised there was something else going on besides just the psychology part of behaviour.
That's right. That's right. And it turned out to be food, and specifically food chemicals. And most parents don't know very much about this at all. I was certainly one of those. Mm-hmm. And when I discovered what the answers were, I thought, well, you know, there are a lot of other parents out there who need to know this, and that's what I've been doing ever since.
Well, it's interesting. Just on a side point, I have a daughter who's peanut and egg allergic, and a consequence of that is that I have to read the label of everything that I give her to eat. And so I have started to learn a lot more about what's in food. But I think it's good, as a good starting point, we probably need to explain the difference between a food intolerance and a food allergy.
Yes, you're absolutely right. That is the place to start. Now, an allergy is a quick reaction to proteins in foods like peanuts, eggs, milk, that kind of thing. The symptoms are usually itching, swelling, breathing difficulties, and most people find it quite easy to make that connection because they will see the reaction within a short period of time. Not always, but usually.
Yeah.
Whereas food intolerance is quite the opposite. It's a delayed reaction to the chemicals in foods. And when I say chemicals, I'm talking about food additives, but also some natural chemicals in foods as well.
And why is the reaction delayed, Sue? Why doesn't it happen straight away?
Well, that's just the way it is. It's it's not an allergic reaction. It's a reaction like the effects of a drug. Everybody knows that drugs can have side effects. And quite often they will build up slowly. So the reaction can happen hours later, but more likely it will build up slowly over days or even weeks.
What you're eating as you add to it.
Yeah, so people have no chance of working out that even there is something going on with food until you take those out of the diet. And in my experience, most parents have not seen a reaction to any kinds of food chemicals, but if their children, for instance, go additive-free for 2 weeks, they will see a change and then they'll say, well, I wouldn't have known that my child was affected by food.
Is that right? Yeah. So what behaviours, I mean, obviously to take your kid off a whole bunch of foods is quite a big deal. So what behaviours might be a warning sign that your child is reacting to a food additive or a food chemical?
Right. Well, it depends on the age of the child. So if you're talking about the younger ones, preschool age, then tantrums is a very obvious one. Now, tantrums are normal, but not excessive tantrums or not very long tantrums. And certainly if headbanging is part of the tantrum, then that's a very good sign that there's something going on.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, but not only that, it can be either end of the spectrum. So you can have the ones who are too quiet or the ones who are too restless. So at one end, they're noisy and plenty of energy, you know, too much energy and can't get to sleep or frequent night waking. And at the other end of the scale, you might have the quiet, miserable, difficult to console children who always seem to be unhappy.
So is it fair to say that moods are a big thing that are affected by our food intolerances?
That's right. Yeah, it's more mood than behaviour. Okay. In a way, but then the mood can drive the behaviour as well.
Yeah, that's right.
And then, of course, there are the physical problems that the children can suffer from that don't make them feel very good, and so that can impact on mood as well. So you've got headaches, stomach aches, sneaky poos, bedwetting, you know, that whole range as well, itchy skin rashes, any of those. A child who's suffering from those isn't going to be feeling good either.
And is there an obvious difference between an intolerance of a certain food additive and the naturally occurring food chemicals like salicylates and amines? Can you explain that difference? Or is it the same?
That's right. It's the same, but it can be the same. Everyone is affected differently, so you can't tell just by looking at a child what they're going to be affected by. It's only when they take these things out of their diet and then add them back one group at a time that you can find out how they're affected. The thing is that additives are more likely to have a strong reaction in one dose because they are concentrated. If you give a child a big dose of artificial colours, for instance, in most children you're going to see something.
So tell us, Sue, what are the worst additives to avoid? We all know about MSG, but there must be many others. Can you just take us through some of the ones to look out for?
Right. Well, artificial colours, for a start. Okay. And then there is one natural colour, and that trips a lot of people up, I can tell you, and that's Annatto 160B.
Oh.
And then there's five groups of preservatives. And in my experience, most people think that they're avoiding preservatives, but they tend to overlook them.
Is that right?
Yes. People who think that they are scrupulously avoiding preservatives generally don't know where all the preservatives are. So they might be avoiding the bread preservative, for instance, and that's a really good place to start, 282, because that's one of the ones that builds up and affects children, you know, every day. If they're eating it every day, then it's just they've got a constant reaction to it. But then you've got sulfites in, for example, dried fruit, especially dried apricots, and those are the additives most likely to be associated with asthma, and yet parents of asthmatic children generally don't know about it. Benzoate preservatives in drinks and toppings and so on. And then there are a couple of others. So those are other nasty ones. You've got the flavour enhancers, the MSG and the newer flavour enhancers, and a lot of them are now listed by name. So it can just say hydrolyzed vegetable protein. And then you've got the antioxidants. Now, what a trap that is for people.
Yeah.
Because everybody thinks antioxidants are good. And
yes,
they are, if you're talking about natural ones like vitamin C and vitamin E. But there are also synthetic antioxidants such as 320, 319, BHA, TBHQ, and they can affect children just as badly as artificial colours, but most parents have no idea where they are or that they can affect children because it just says antioxidant.
Well, people I have to say too, hydrolyzed vegetable protein doesn't sound that bad. You know, antioxidant doesn't sound that bad. So I guess we need to, you'd have all these things on your website if people want to get a list of these kind of additives.
Well, we do, but to be honest, this is a constant battle that manufacturers have realized that parents don't want these nasty additives in foods, and so they are switching to names that sound more innocent.
And then they don't put the numbers on anymore.
That's right. Mm. And so you really need to look into it a bit more. With our new cards on our website, we have free cards that have names and numbers, and you can print them out and put them in your wallet, or we've got our new magnifying cards so that with the names and numbers, that's what we've found we have to do, and we have to put things on it like hydrolyzed vegetable protein and yeast extract, which people don't realize is MSG. You really need to know what to look for.
Now, what about a lot of lollies and things now say that the flavors and colors are natural. Is that actually better?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
And this is where you were talking about salicylates before. Most parents don't know about salicylates, and yet these can cause as many problems as artificial colours and the other additives. If they're eaten, especially if they're eaten in high doses or by people who are very sensitive, not everyone is sensitive to salicylates, but if they are, it's a big problem because they're eating them all day, every day. And when you get, say, natural lollies that have concentrated natural colours and flavours, then that's going to be a very high dose of salicylates, and so some children are going to react to them. And that is one sign. If people take out additives and still give their children, say, natural lollies and see a reaction, then that's a sign that they're reacting to salicylates.
There you go. So it seems all quite complex to work it all out, Sue. Is doing an elimination diet really the only way to find out what the intolerances are?
Yes, unfortunately. There are no scientifically proven ways of laboratory tests for showing what food intolerances are. But for a lot of families, look, they can see a huge improvement just by cutting down. It's only if symptoms are severe enough to need to see a doctor, then you have to do the full elimination diet with challenges to find out exactly what's going on. And that can be It sounds hard, but it's not the hardest part is making the decision to do it. It's such a relief to know exactly what affects you and what doesn't.
So the idea, just for those who never heard of an elimination diet, is that you take out all the things that could possibly cause problems, you introduce them back slowly one at a time, and then you see which one the child reacts to.
One group of chemicals at a time.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. And, okay. And that way, within a few months, you can know exactly what affects you and what doesn't.
Very interesting, Sue. There's a lot to talk about. I think we'll have to leave it there for this morning, though. Thank you for filling us in a little bit on the food intolerances and additives to look out for.
Thank you, Katrina.
That's Sue Dengate, and her website for more info is fedup.com.au.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails, and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.